Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Pleasure to be back speaking with you today. Appreciate everyone coming. Appreciate the opportunity to gather freely that we have here. Now, back in Texas, we may call this first little story preaching to the choir, because I think some of you probably know it better than I do. But did a little research around light, right? So we have the Fanned Head Peninsula, and we have the Fanned Lighthouse. And so again, not too far away. And it was built in 1817, and it seems to make its way onto quite a few pictures, calendars, things of that nature. Right, but the story of it starts a little bit earlier. In 1812, there was a naval frigate called the HMS, I want to get the name right, Saldana, okay, we'll call it that. I don't know how they pronounced it back then, but that's good enough. But the HMS Saldana was wrecked on the rocks. And reading a couple of different stories, some people say there were no survivors, some survivors. In fact, one story says the only survivor was the parrot. So who knows, right? But after that wreck in 1812, the community kept saying we had needed a lighthouse for a while. And the community got together, petitioned the politicians, the people with the money, and a lighthouse was commissioned and then built, completed in 1817, right? Why was it built? Was it built because they saw the need? Was it built because the wreck had actually happened? Right? It's kind of a culmination of all the events. And that kind of is how light and darkness works in us as well. Right? People were dying in the dark, and they need the light. And they saw, what could we do to shine that light brightly? And since then, right, 1817 to now, so it stood for over 200 years, weathering the storms, being battered by the coast, but serving as a beacon for those who need it, right? What's interesting about a lighthouse, too, though, is that if you think about it, a lighthouse does not move into the storm, right? A lighthouse stays where it is, and the storms come over it. It washes to it. The ships are guided by that light. They come in safely because it stands there. It does what it's supposed to do. And we as Christians are called to do the same thing by Jesus, as we just heard in those verses, right? It's an excerpt from part of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus goes up and he's talking to people and preaching about what they can do and has several parables in it. And as we dive into it, I want to relate it to a common little song, and you see in your handout, you have an insert, This Little Light of Mine, right? So you actually have a nice preaching aid, even though we don't have PowerPoints or anything of that nature. Right, just as Jesus stood up and preached. I'm nowhere near that category. But if I can't explain a message without having to rely on technology, then maybe I need to get a new gig. But if you bow your heads, let's pray real fast as we dive into it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather freely when there are so many places that gathering is persecuted. Lord, we thank you for those who are able to make it today. We pray for those who aren't. Lord, we rejoice in those like Dora and Yvonne and family that are able to find some rest and restoration. So, Lord, we just thank you for this message. That's your message, Lord. Lord, the words that you've put forth. But, Lord, we hope that it blesses those who are here, those that listen to it. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave. It's your son's holy precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so, and if you want to follow along with your little insert, because there will be a test afterwards, right? We're going to sing it. I don't know if we're going to do all the motions for those who know motions. If anyone wants to volunteer to come do motions, feel free. But the song, This Little Light of Mine, was written in the 1920s. It was written by a gentleman named Harry Lowes. Okay? And he was a minister who wanted to make it easier for children to understand the gospel. And if we look at the verses, right, Matthew 5:14-16, it's only three verses, right? But it's a fundamental truth of the Bible that we need to understand. And so the verses before that, there's one other verse, 13, that talks about salt. You could do a whole sermon series just on that itself as well. But This Little Light of Mine, after it was written in the 20s, it progressed through, and then in the 1960s in the United States, there was a civil rights movement. And in the civil rights movement, they took this song and they sang it as a way to show, right, that what God had given them, right, cannot be extinguished by other people. So it's kind of co-opted by that movement and became a little bit more well-known today. But no matter what its purpose was used for, right, biblical truth, right, it relates directly. So if we look at the verses, if you've got it, this little light of mine, right, Jesus originally said that I am the light, right? But then he's telling us that now you are the light on the hill. So the interesting thing is that it's in present tense, okay? This little light of mine, we've got it in the present. Hide it under a bushel?
No.
Exactly, right? He's warning us against covering that light, right? The lamp belongs on the stands. We won't let Satan blow it out, right? So no power can extinguish what God has lit, right? Sometimes we try and smother the flame ourselves. We don't even let external sources do that to us, okay? So those are the points that we're kind of going to follow as we go through today. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And trust me, you don't want me singing a cappella up here, so I'm just going to speak the verses, okay? I'm going to let it shine. It doesn't say that we deserve a light, does it? No. Doesn't say that I'm owed a light? No. Okay? It says, when Jesus is speaking, you are the light. Okay? Not will be, are. From the moment that we receive Christ, we have that light inside of us as part of the Holy Spirit, right? It's amazing how that happens. And the depiction even on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down is what? Is fire, right? There are reasons why some visual depictions are spoken about, because light gives fire. Light itself, if you look up the definition of it, it's a really complicated scientific definition, but basically it's a state of being in the visual spectrum or something of that nature. Really kind of a miracle, and then you see it, how fast it moves. People probably know that better than me, 187,000 miles a second, something crazy like that, right? But when we look back at that light that we see and what we think is almost instantaneous, okay, it's been there, it's emitting. And just as that lighthouse, right, Fanned Head Lighthouse, is emitting that light, okay, it's not the source of its own power. It has to come from something, right? Batteries, maybe? I don't know what generates it. Things move into solar nowadays. Okay, back in the day, could have been fire reflecting off some type of mirrors or something like that. Okay, but there is a source of it. And the source of our light, again, the Holy Spirit that comes down to us. We're just carriers, okay? But it belongs to us because it first belonged to him and is passed upon us. The light that we have, when it says that it's mine, I'm going to let it shine, is a lighthouse any good if no one's around, right? It's like if a bear's in a wood, right? Or if someone chops down a tree, does anyone hear it fall? Okay? I don't know, right? But the lighthouse is there shining for others. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do here, okay? There's two different ways that can happen. There's individually, and there's collectively. So individually, right, the single lamp, okay, a clay oil that was set on a lampstand to light the night. And when you think of light as well, and if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God is creating the universe and then carving things up, there was darkness, and then God said, what? Let there be light. Okay? And he saw that the light was good. Okay? And something about light and lighthouses ourselves is that light will always overcome the darkness. Okay? So if you're outside and you've got your torch and you can't see, you turn it on, and what do you notice? The light is there, right? It has overcome the darkness. Okay? And the darkness is simply just the absence of that light. And so the world, when we see it as a fallen place, it's the absence of the light that's reflected in us from Jesus Christ. But what can we do with that lamp? When we put that lamp somewhere and it lights the darkness at night, we're making a testimony. Okay? We're saying, I'm going to be doing something, okay, as a Christian. Okay? That lamp is lighting our way to whatever path is before us. Not only are there individual lamps, Jesus talks about what? The city on the hill. Okay? The city on the hill is not just one individual lamp. It's the collective unity that we have. Right? Back in that time, and actually up here quite a bit, right, in the county, we see houses built from what color? White. And there are some simple scientific reasons for that as well. right? Maybe, you know, that's easier to do without adding colors and pigments. But what's interesting about white is that it reflects very well, right? In the daylight, reflects the sun. Nighttime can reflect the moon. Makes things visual to see. And that's what we're called to do as the church. We're called to witness together, to let our light shine to the world that's out there in a community, okay? What we want to do is, we want to be visible, okay? We don't want to hide it, as we go into the second verse, right? Hide it under a bushel? No. And that's part, I like it, because we can yell that no when we go singing it. But Jesus asked us, why would anyone with a light attempt to hide it? If you look at Luke chapter 8, verse 16, it reinforces it. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under the bed. The lamp goes on the stand so that those who come can see the light. Okay? In the song, a bushel, right? A bushel is some type of article that's used to cover a light or to snuff it out. Right? This can be many things in our life today. It doesn't have to be just a physical, sometimes wicker, sometimes later on metal, right, to put it out. But what bushels do we fight today? Hey, there's lots of them that are out there. Hey, we go through this, and maybe some of these can relate to you. I know they all relate to me, okay? But fear is a bushel that can hide my light, okay? And it happens in the Bible, even with some of the best people, right? But one that was just more of a common man, Joseph of Arimathea. If you remember who he was, Joseph of Arimathea came to get the body of Jesus, right? He was asking Pontius, can I have it? But if you look in John chapter 19, verses 38, it said that he was a follower of Christ, but he did not tell people because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders. Fear is one of the major bushels that we have. What will people think of me? Okay? Will people act differently towards me? Will I lose friends? Will I make someone mad? All these things, right? We have shame is a bushel. Coming up here today to speak, I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't, you know, got the qualifications that Dorian has or anything of that nature, right? But sometimes we can convince ourselves that that means we can't talk about Jesus, right? That's not true at all. We're all given that free gift to let our light shine in different ways. You know, today I'm trying to use my light for the Lord to come through me and reflect on you through this message. We have the worship team that's letting their light shine. We have, you know, John helping us out, guiding us through, right? Not worrying about the pride of what do people think if I mess up, right? But I'm here to use my gifts and not be ashamed of them. Busyness, okay? That's a big one, right? We have so many things in our life nowadays. We can use it as an excuse to not contribute. We can use it to not read our Bible. We can use it maybe to not come to church, to gather. We can use it to just focus on a task versus looking at the larger picture. How can I use this to talk about Jesus? Do we take the time to stop and have those conversations? Right? Maybe if we're getting petrol, okay, and we're there, we just want to get it in our car, pay, and get on down the road. But when we're paying, if we go inside the station, maybe there's opportunity, right? To seize that, to talk to someone about Jesus and let that light shine. And then sometimes, right, can just be laziness, the opposite of busyness. We don't have enough going on. But sometimes when we're lazy, we just, I don't know. That is more out of my comfort zone. You know, it's not necessarily that I'm scared to do it. I'm not ashamed to do it, but I don't know. I just kind of like sitting here. It's a lot easier to be on the receiving end and people telling me about Jesus. And then I feel like I've checked my box for the day. I've gone to church. Maybe I read my Bible. Didn't pray on it or anything, but I read a verse or two. Okay? But I'm so comfortable in the way that I do it, that comfortableness becomes the bushel that puts out my light. So one thing I would like you to challenge yourself this week, if you go from here, is maybe to pray on, right? What is a bushel that is hiding my light? Right? And someone here would be happy to pray with you if you have challenges around that. As we go from hiding under a bushel, we get to Don't let Satan blow it out. All right? I'm going to let it shine. When we think especially of the weather up here and winter storms and how things blow, now we've only been up here through one season. Okay, so a little bit different than down on the southeast coast, and definitely different than flat West Texas, okay, with storms and blowing and wind of that nature. But there's many things that can attempt to blow the light out when we don't do it ourselves. And we have to take those opportunities to go through hardships. Now, Jesus promises us that he will be with us through those hardships. Okay? But the same way that we can get too comfortable, sometimes we get up against a challenge and we decide, I can't do that. And what were the words that I just said? I can't do that. But together, we can do that, right? Through Christ. And so we want to make sure that when we see some type of external challenge, that we take it to the Lord. When we have some type of internal challenge, we take it to the Lord as well. Okay. Something else about blowing it out. Okay. Absolutely, the devil will come towards you and say, you're not saved. Okay. He will come with that fear and try and say, did you really accept Jesus? I don't know that you did. Okay. Do you remember that? Because you're acting a little bit different now. Okay. Maybe you're here today and you think, oh, these songs, they're good, and I'm singing them. But going back to shame, I just don't know if I'm supposed to be here. I don't know if I can sing as loudly because I have some issues going on. Okay? Don't let it be blown out, again, from external factors that we have going on. The Bible tells us, right, that the Lord will not break a bruised reed. In the same way, he will not let a candle be snuffed out. So if we were outside in that storm and that candle was the light within us, right, God makes sure that we can shine through it. So whatever storms you're facing, wind's not blowing quite as much today, but I'm sure there's something that's going on in your life that's telling you, hey, just extinguish that candle. Maybe something else has crept in. Not those four that we just talked about, but maybe there's an external factor, an addiction of some sort, maybe anger, maybe resentment, jealousy, some things in there that manifest themselves as the way that take over the light for us. So what I want you to do as well, if you are saved, if you have accepted the Lord, I want you to remember when that happened and know that you have a firm foundation that no matter what the world, right, says, no matter what the little voice inside your head will say, that you are saved, right? And God loves you today. And the lights that we see when we're put on a hill and we don't let it get extinguished and we don't cover it ourselves, that can reflect on someone else that's out there that needs to hear about Jesus, right? And we have so many opportunities as we go out in the world this week to be able to do that. Maybe someone sitting here says, I'm in school. I spend all my time on that. That's my busyness. Hey, that's a perfect opportunity. What better place to talk about God than with people who are searching for all the answers, right, at that age within school? Maybe it's at work. One thing that I found moving over here from the States 7 years ago is that workplaces are a lot different over here. And just the way that people talk, the way that people act, not saying better, worse, anything of that nature, just different. Okay? And maybe that's my opportunity to be the light. Maybe it's my opportunity to be different. Okay? Maybe it's the opportunity to shine, and someone can say, what does that person have? There's a story, it's more U.S.-based, but there was a president named Woodrow Wilson, who lived 1800s. And you'll probably have heard of this other guy named D.L. Moody. He came over toward Ireland, Britain, wrote quite a few good books around evangelism. But Woodrow Wilson could have been the most powerful man in the world at the time. And he goes into a barber shop, and he sits down, he's getting his hair cut, and he notices a gentleman come in sit down in the chair, and the atmosphere just shifts and it changes. And the person in the chair, he's just kind to people. He's talking. There's just something about the spirit around him, right? And so haircuts are being finished. In fact, the president's haircut finished, but he didn't want to leave the chair until this other gentleman left. So the other gentleman left, D.L. Moody, walks out, and they say there was silence in the barber shop. And then people were wondering what just happened there, right? Because the light was reflected so much in the characteristics of D.L. Moody that not only did he preach it, not only did he write it, but he lived it himself, right? So if we think back maybe to the beginning and we think about the HMS Saldana that went down, okay, there was no light on the headland up there when that happened, okay? But the lighthouse has stood since. And maybe, right, maybe hundreds of ships have saved. I don't know how many ships pass by daily. It's one of the interesting things. You never know when things are working well, how well it's working, right, when it's doing its job. Because you can't count the disasters that didn't happen because the lighthouse was there. But it's the same way in our ministry of lights. Do you agree with me there? There we go. Some amens, okay? We may never know whose lives were not wrecked, not through us, but through the light that we reflected because of Jesus Christ, where we were standing, where we were talking, maybe just the actions that we were doing, okay? But maybe they needed to see something that you were doing, marriage reflected, maybe a story that you told, maybe just praying for somebody right there, because your light was on. In all this, when Jesus was talking down to the people, the Sermon on the Mount, 2,000 years ago, right? He wasn't talking to those who thought that they were saved, right? The religious scholars, everyone of that time. Who was he talking to? The poor, right? The tax collectors, those who thought that they were unworthy. So don't hide behind your past, okay? Don't dwell on your present. Don't worry about the doubts that you have, because again, we're just reflecting the light that Jesus has given us. So stand where Jesus has placed you and shine in whatever that may be. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out? No, I'm going to let it shine. So again, as we have those other challenges, my last challenge to you this week is going to be, let your light shine on what we're called to do. Be that lamp. Let's come together. Let's be that city on a hill and shine for Jesus. So if you'll bow your heads with me, let's pray real fast, please. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess that sometimes we have hidden what you've placed within us. Sometimes we've let fear tell us to stay small or to stay quiet. Sometimes we've let shame convince us that we're disqualified. We've chosen comfort over courage, silence over the witness. Forgive us, Lord, for when we do that. But we have the opportunity today to choose differently. Lord, in every day from here forth and all our actions, we can choose to shine for you. So I thank you as I went through this week, Lord, to remember the truth that we are the light of the world. Lord, I hope that resonates with some here. But Lord, again, we're not the light of the world because of who we are, but because of who lives in us, Lord. Your spirit is the source, and your glory is the ultimate goal. And Lord, I ask that you remove the bushels, Lord. Every bushel that's out there, silence the voices that say that the flame is out. You're the God that is everlasting and who does not snuff out that smoldering wick. We thank you for that. In fact, Lord, we ask that you fan that smoldering wick into a flame. Lord, we ask that you send us from here this week and onward as light bearers to our homes, farms, towns, schools, wherever we go. Lord, we know that there are dark places that we enter. Lord, let us radiate your love. And may the people around us see something in us they can't explain. And maybe we can show that it's you, Lord. So we ask for that. We ask for that glow that comes upon us. Lord, that the glory, when they ask what it is, that the glory goes to your name. We thank you for this, Lord, and ask this in Jesus' name. But if you'll keep your head bowed just for a minute, please, just for a minute, okay? Maybe you came in today and you thought maybe that song sounded a little familiar, right? Maybe some of the worship that we did stirred something within your soul. But maybe the light itself you feel like is someone else's story. Maybe you've come to church a few times. Maybe you've come just your first time. Okay? But maybe you haven't received that light. Okay, you can't shine with what we don't have. And we can't give ourselves this light. It only comes from one source, Jesus Christ. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 12 said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Okay? That word, whoever, includes all of us. If you don't have the light, that word whoever includes you right now, today, right here in Fallcarra, exactly as you are. Don't have to clean yourself up first. Don't have to understand everything. You just have to come to Jesus. And as simple as the song is, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." That's as easy as to do as ABC. Same thing we teach children. Admit, believe, confess. And if you're ready to step out of the darkness today and receive that light, I want you to pray with me, okay, and mean it. And if that's not you, if you already have the light, that's fine. Just keep your head bowed for just another minute, Lord. Just time for you to chat with the Lord. But for those who need that prayer, you can go along with me. Confess it to the Lord. "Lord, I admit that I've been living in darkness. I've tried to find light in other places, but have come up empty. But I now believe that you are the light of the world. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again so that I could have life and reflect your light. Today I turn from my sin. I turn to you. Receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Fill me with light. Make me new. I'm no longer yours, or no longer my own. I'm yours. And in Jesus' name, amen."